this morning for what we're about to receive. He's already been introduced to the congregation. Heath, come on up here, bud. I've been around this guy for close to a month now on a very regular basis, but I've known him for several years. As a matter of fact, I first met him at a beach camp when he was kind of a little squirrely still. All right? And I tell you, it's been an absolute joy to watch God mature him and grow him. Heath Daniels has been a part of this fellowship his entire life. And Heath, you have nothing to worry about today. Just like that worship set where they knew that, Lord, we don't know what we're doing, but we're here for you. Today, I know you know what you're doing. The guy's got you, buddy. Mm-hmm. Love you.
Thank you.
Let's welcome Heath Daniels.
Praise the Lord. Yeah, these t-shirts, ran a 5K yesterday. There's only two things that I hate on this planet, and that is painting and running. Don't ask me to do either, and if I do end up doing it, it means I love you a lot. So when I heard that we were doing to run so we can raise money for wells, I'm into that because I've been to Africa, and I've actually gotten water out of a well, helped a woman out, and that changed my life. The water that she had to drink and her family had to drink, it changed my life. So if I'm going to run just so they don't have to walk 10 miles a day, three times a day, please, that's easy because we can go anywhere we want to and get water. It's a piece of chicken, you know, piece of cake, that's what that means. Anyways, to put into a more perspective, I'm going to show a video. It's not affiliated with the same thing, but it's the same purpose, just wells. And I do want to apologize. You might can't read the font too well, but we couldn't do anything with that. So enjoy.
Thank you.
I've spent about three and a half months in Africa. So Africa is very, very dear to my heart. And you probably couldn't read some of it, but some of the kids, what they were saying is like, I would love to go to school, but I'm too busy going to get water for my family, or I'm too sick to go to school because of the water that we drink. And I complained about going to school. I would do whatever it took to get out of school back in the day. And when I was in Africa, I had so many kids just come up to me. I just want to go to school. I just want to go to school. I want to be a teacher. I want to be a lawyer. I want to be a doctor. And by supplying them water, they could do that. So that's why we ran. So that's my heart. I love missions. I love Africa. I love kids. And yeah, so I was glad to share that. Anyways, I'm going to bring the word today. I'm going to come from three different scriptures. If you want to go ahead and bring that one up. Tech team, can we give a hand for the tech team, by the way? They come here, and the worship team, and all the staff for Warner Robins. We have no idea what it takes to put everything together, and they just do an awesome job just so we can be comfortable just to hear the word of the Lord. So thank y'all. So I'm going to read for the first ones. I'm going to speak to three people today. I'm going to speak to parents. I'm going to speak to people that are praying for people, and I'm going to speak to people that are looking for a doctor. So first one, parents, I need you to write this down because this is a promise from the Lord. How many of you know that this is a promise of God? When he says something, he means it, and it's true and it's honest. It's either you believe it or you don't believe it. You need to go and make that choice right now. And if you don't believe it, repent of it, and he'll give you grace because that's just the kind of God that we serve. Parents, direct your children unto the right path, and when they are older, they will not leave it. This is a promise. This is a promise from the Lord. You raise them up in the way, and they will not leave it. Might look like it for a moment, but they will find their way back around. It's a promise of the Lord. Next scripture, please. Confess your sins to each other. This is one of my favorite verses, by the way. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. There's people in here, you're praying for certain people in your life. It could be your child. It could be your spouse. It could be a person at work. God, are you hearing me? Is this going to work? This is a promise from the Lord. You need to write it down. You need to write it down in your heart and write it on paper. And last one, it's a little lengthy, but I might shorten it up. So we'll go there. Did we get that one? A woman. I preached this this past Wednesday. I used this passage, and the Lord just really blew my mind with one of the parts in this story, but it's a woman with the issue of blood. A woman in the crowd has suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She has suffered a great deal from many doctors. Over the years, she had spent everything she had to pay them, but she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. She had heard about Jesus. She had heard about Jesus. Right? Write that down, underline in your Bible. That's what just popped out on page for me. So she came up behind him and through the crowd and touched his robe. And for she thought to herself, if I can just touch his robe, I will be healed. Immediately the bleeding stopped and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. And we can stop there. So first one, parents, there's a promise that if you raise your kids in the right way, the Lord will keep them on that path. Second one is a prayer of a righteous man will be heard. How many know it's not the prayer, but the one you're praying to that makes you righteous? And then the last one, the woman heard a story. She heard a testimony. She heard Jesus did something. And she said, I want that story. I want God to do that in me. And she went and touched him. He met her and changed his life. And that's what I'm going to do today. I'm going to share my story, if that's all right. I'm going to share a testimony. I don't know how many people are people of theology around here, but I am. And one of my theologies is called butt-naked theology. Means that everything between God and I, we're just butt-naked. Tap your neighbor and say butt-naked. If you're, never mind, I was going to make a wife joke, but I'm not married. I can't do that yet. Butt naked between God and me. There's nothing there. And also with people, just being vulnerable. And tonight I'm going to, I can't believe I'm saying this in church. I'm going to get butt naked in church. And I'm going to show you, you know, what God's done in my life. And I'm going to become vulnerable and share stuff. So maybe it'll bring you hope. Start off, I was born at a young age. I love when people laugh at that. Usually they don't. But I was actually, it's so cool because the stage that I preach on nowadays, I was dedicated on as a baby. I was raised in this church. It's funny to come back years later and I have just people, I used to change your diapers, you know, that whole story. And like, that's awkward. And then they go even further, like, you have the cutest butt. And I'm just, you know, what do you say to that? Oh, thanks. You too, you know? Well, it's kind of like, you know, you go to the movies and like, hey, they give you your ticket, enjoy your movie. And you just say, you too, but they're not watching a movie. It was just kind of one of those reactions like that. So, yeah, I was raised here. And as Pastor Andy kind of shared, I was one of those hellions. I caused a lot of ministers to quit their job. I was just so hyper and I was just all over the place. My mom, she's Felicia Daniels, if you know her, she is phenomenal in so many directions. One of the things that I call her is the secretary of Jesus, because she's just always in her word. If you know my mom, this defines her so well. If you want to know about Jesus, she'll talk about it for hours and hours and hours. And this is another thing, if you know my mom, if you're demon-possessed, she'll cuss you out in a heartbeat. She will cuss that devil out so fast, even she won't hold back either. So she loves Jesus with everything she has, but she hates that enemy because she sees the harm that it's done. My dad, Kenny Daniels, he's a hardworking man, one of the funniest men I know, and he's just loved me. I wrestled in high school, and he never missed a wrestling match. I always heard my mom screaming, "Go, Heath!" But I always saw my dad on the side of the mat, and it was such a blessing. Had two brothers, Jared, which was the oldest brother, he was 7 years older, and the middle brother, Taylor, he's 22 months older, and me, the baby, and that's all we had. That's our family. They're actually on vacation in Florida, and I had to stay home and watch the stupid dogs. So, I need to give that to the Lord. So, anyways, growing up, I remember always having a love for God. My mom, she would, during the summer, she would make us write out the Bible before we could go do anything. She's a big fan of writing out the Bible. So Proverbs a day, we would write out the Bible. And I was so hyper, I didn't want to do more schoolwork. But now looking back on my life, I'm glad she did that. But she just always pointed me to Jesus, always Jesus, 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 Jesus. So I remember at a young age just loving Jesus. I remember climbing trees and talking with him like it was normal. You know, that's just life. But like I said, I was just really hyper, and I was just all over the place. And I loved to make people laugh, so I would do whatever it took to make people laugh, and even if that caused me to get in a lot of trouble. I didn't care because my mom whooped my butt so much that I was immune. I started getting too immune to it. So, yeah. And so growing up, I was just, not that I was a trouble kid in school, but I was just, you couldn't contain me. I was just all over the place. And I loved life, and it was cool. But life hits you hard when you're a kid and you don't even know what's happening. I have a lot of youth now, and going through some stuff, I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't go through that. Or like, oh yeah, I can relate to that. There's so much of culture just pointing you this way, that way, this is where, you get attention. This is where you get healed and blah, 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 this and that. So I fell into that trap. At the age of 11, I started smoking cigarettes. Age of 14, I started doing drugs, smoking weed and hanging out with the wrong people. I remember smoking weed. I was just like, yeah, why not try it? Everyone else is doing it. I knew it was bad, but I didn't know why it was bad. So I was just like, yeah, sure. Age 15, started getting drunk and partying a lot, and I lost my virginity as well at the age of 15. And it was really just because I wanted popularity. It was really because I wanted attention. Like the woman bleeding, I went to all these doctors that I thought could heal my heart or give me a purpose or define me because something was happening in here that wasn't right. And I would waste my life on these things, alcohol, drugs, sex, parties, you name it. And it just didn't work. But God never stopped loving me. He always pursued me. How many of you know it's not you pursuing God, it's him pursuing you? And then it's just a turn to that. I am going to pursue him because he's pursuing me. And I knew that. I look back on my life now and I see that he was pursuing me. And so throughout high school, when I went through my party phase, you know, I would come back to church and God would just meet me in this huge way. And it would be phenomenal. And I would get so, I guess, technically speaking, high on the Spirit, high on God. Just, yes, God, I love you, I love you. And those times, man, I would be in my word all the time. And but then when that high would go down and it determined me and my character and my walk with the Lord and walking by faith, not by feeling, I would crash every time. I never really had a mentor to show me how to do that. So I was just, well, time to go get high on the world now. And I was the type of pothead that I had too much God in me. This is how Pastor John Wood says it in Macon. He says, I had too much God in me to enjoy the world and too much world in me to enjoy God. When I was high, I would preach all the time. My friend stopped smoking weed with me because I was just talking about Jesus so much. For real. And a lot, I don't know if God used a donkey. That's all I'm saying. So, and so just high school is just back and forth. In high school, I had a lot of influence as well. Influence just means leadership. That's it. You can tell if you're a leader by how much influence you have. There was a time where 40 to 50 of my friends were meeting at my house. We had to take a bus just to go to church, and we had church in Macon, so it was 20, 30 minutes away. And then the next weekend, I can have 30 to 40 people at my house getting drunk. Influence. Doesn't matter. I had a woman share at my grandma's funeral. She said, Heath, you have a lot of influence. That's really good or really bad. You choose. And so I chose a lot. But I was just back and forth with the world. And my senior year, I ended up getting arrested twice. And violated my probation, so I got arrested the second time, and punishment was huge. Like, you know, YDC, boot camp, this, that, you know, I'm going down, you know. And there's this district attorney who had the power to send me wherever she wanted to go, and she said, you look like a good kid. I'm like, are you blind? I've been arrested. I've done all these things. Do you know what you're talking about? She said, no, you look like a good kid. Either join college or join the military, and I'll wipe all this off your record. So I ended up going to college, and that summer, I really just let go of a lot of stuff, let go of the whole party scene, and once again, I picked up God and met God in a big way, in a big encounter. So when I was at college, I just chased after him and chased after him and chased after him. And I'm going to take a pause there. So I'm at college, okay? I'm going to kind of go back, and I'm going to talk about my brother, Jared. My brother, Jared, he's 7 years older than me, and if you're the younger sibling or whatever, you can relate to this. We always looked up to our older brothers and sisters because they're doing life before us, and we're like, oh, that means that's how we need to do this, so let's follow them. Well, my brother, Jared, just a quick resume, in and out of jail for 10 years, gang life, drug life, you name the drug. He's done it, and fiddled around with so many religions, and just not good at all. Just the lifestyle where you're like, oh, what is that? But my mom and our family, we loved him. We loved him dearly, and we ended up being best friends my senior year in high school and get really close. And because growing up, he was off doing drugs and stuff, so it was only Taylor and I. We were best friends. You couldn't separate Taylor and I. But when we got to high school and I started doing drugs and alcohol and stuff, Taylor and I kind of split apart. He went and did his own thing. And then when Jared came back into the picture, he didn't have anything. So he just stayed with us, and we grew really, really close. So I just followed Jared. You know, he did certain things. I did certain things. He was my influence. He was my leader, and that's how I led people. You know, I have a lot of people following me now, but they're really following the person that I follow, and that's Jesus Christ now. But that was the same way back in my high school. I was following my brother Jared, so people were following me, and we were just going down the wrong road. So Jared, my college year, before I went to college, he violated his probation. He got put back in jail. It's very, very humiliating when you see your mom who's praying her heart out for you, and she has two of her sons in the same jail. That's tough. And her mom's on the bed dying. She had her dad died a couple years ago. It's very, very tough. And so it was good my college year when I kind of cleaned up my life and got away from that. But at the end of my college year, only went 1 year. I felt the Lord say, go home. So I'm a college dropout. That's fun to say sometimes, because where I'm at now, it just blows my mind, because God is good. And around that time that I got out, I got home. Jared got out like a month later. So I think about June, he got out of jail from violating his probation, and he was back. And he went back to the same old stuff, just, you know, smoking weed, drinking and stuff like that, and trying to hide it from mom and everything. And I would go to him, and I would, no, don't do this, you know, and just hate on him. And that's not the way it's done. Now I know that. And but being around it so much, I wasn't strong enough. I didn't learn that run to God, don't spend so much time in the world, because it will snatch you up in a heartbeat. And the devil, he does not play games. He will, you know the saying, he'll give you an inch. I mean, you give him an inch, he'll take a mile. That is so true. That's really undermining what he'll really do. So I was trying to get Jared out of that. And long story short with that, I ended up getting on drugs again. But this time I was like, no, I'm all in. You know, I can't go this back and forth. I'm going to go big. Let's go big. So I went from being a pothead to a pothead. The true definition of a pothead, high every day. You couldn't stop me. I was high every day. Every time you saw me, I was high. Just drugs left and right. Started doing Xanax. Started doing painkillers. And just anything I could to just get that high. To feel this meaning. To feel this. To make me. You know, I remember I found purpose and to make people laugh. So if I was laughing, I found purpose in that. So, you know, when you get high, you laugh a lot. So I was finding purpose a lot in that. So that's where I would run. And it just wasn't good. So spending a lot of time with Jared, just doing drugs with him. And Taylor was off doing his own thing. He was a good kid, I guess you could say. He's such a good brother. I love him so much. But there was a day. I'm going to give you a timeline. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Okay? Just remember that order. Wednesday, I was getting ready to go to a party. I planned a party Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Just the whole week. That's just my life, you know. I work just to party. I make money just to party. And so Wednesday, I was getting ready to go to a party. I was in the shower, and I get out of the shower, and I see Jared pulling up in my car. He wasn't supposed to take my car because he doesn't have a license, and it's my car. Don't touch my car. You know, I'm a little brother. You're the older brother. I'll punch you. And you know how it is, just those little rivalry things. And he gets out, so I'm like, Jared, you idiot, give me my car keys. And he throws them at me, and he hits me in the head. It's kind of funny looking back. But that fuels the flame, and I'm just, I'm going to fight him. And my brother Taylor, my other friend that was with me, kind of broke us apart. And I just, man, whatever, you're just a, I won't say it for church sake, fill in the blank, cursed him right there on the spot. You know, nothing normal. I mean, nothing out of the ordinary when you get in fight, when you're living in the world. That's just how you talk, and that's how I talk. So I talked like that. And I just caught him right on the spot. And I said, whatever, you're just a, and I walked off. And got in my car. I put clothes on first. Got in the car and went to the party. And Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, party, party, party. Saturday night, I didn't talk to Jared any of these times. And Saturday night, I get ready to go to another party. And I plan to do, you know, smoke weed, of course, and then pop some ecstasy. And this is like one of my first times doing it. No, I don't know. Who cares? And so I called my mom to see if I could stay at a friend's house. And I call her. Jared picks up the phone, and he's just happy as mess. What's up, dude? How you doing, man? I miss you, dude. You know, we just had that kind of friendship. But I was still holding that grudge. I was still mad at him. I said, man, whatever. Let me just talk to mom. And he gave the phone to mom. And I asked if I could stay the night. She said, yeah, cool, no worries. And I said, okay, cool. Hung up the phone, lit up the blunt, popped the ecstasy in my mouth, and the rest was history. You know, if you know anything about ecstasy, it's based with different kinds of drugs, and the two that I took was based with heroin and meth. And so meth keeps you up all night. So I just stayed up all night. Just, ugh. I look back now, and it's just disgusting. I stayed up all night. And earlier that week, I lost my phone. So no one could get in touch with me or anything. And around 7 o'clock, Sunday morning, I finally get to bed. Up all night, just on drugs. And I sleep about an hour. My friend, John, who I was with at the time, he gets a text from his parents. And his dad says, get home now, 911. Meaning, you know, there's an emergency, something's happened. We're like, oh my gosh, we're busted. We're going to get in trouble. I'm going to get grounded. They're not going to spank me anymore because it doesn't really work. And I'm toasted. And so we pull up to my friend's house, and I see my parents' car in the driveway. I'm like, I'm dead. So, like, I'm walking up to the door, and I'm trying to sober up, you know, whatever, I'm good. But really, my mind's just gone. And I walk into the house, and I say, Mom, what's going on? You know, what's happening? You know, just trying to be all sober. And she just looks at me and says, your brother Jared was killed in a car accident. And tunnel vision. I couldn't move, and I was in shock. And I hear God a lot. I love to hear his voice. But there's only one time that I heard the devil's voice. And I heard him say, gotcha. I heard the devil say that. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Me, party, 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 party. Wednesday, I got in a fight with Jared. I was gone Thursday. Jared was at the house. Thursday, he gave his life to Christ. He was with my mom, and my mom tells the story so beautifully. She always cries when she says it. She said, I looked into his beautiful blue eyes, with just tears in his eyes, and she just told him, I love you, and God loves you, and he just started repenting of so much stuff. And the reason the devil said that I got you is because, I'll say it in a phrase, drugs take away the precious times. I missed my brother's salvation because I was off getting high. He got me. He robbed me. And he robbed me of a lot of other things too. So I was 19 when my brother died. And like I said, I grew up here. I got a lot of memories here. And one of my memories is I had my brother's funeral here. I think that'll be 5 years ago, this October. I remember walking through here, and I was fine. I didn't really cry because, you know, I was just so doped up. I couldn't. My heart was just so hard. But I walk in here. I remember this just perfectly. Walk into these doors, and I see my brother's pictures on there. I just start crying. And when we pulled up, man, there were so many cars here. It was just unreal and just so much love, and this whole place was filled up. So I was surrounded by a whole bunch of people, but I just ran and cried. I just ran to the men's restroom, and if you walk straight into the men's restroom, and hopefully women won't do this, but they see the shower right there. I cried, and my best friend John Kenny just held me as I cried. One of the sweetest moments I ever have with my best friend John. And that was the time that I was able to start my healing process at this place. There's a lot of you that come in here, and God's healed your heart because of what he's done in this place. And this is one of my places where I started just to get healed from the Lord. So for me, that was my wake-up call. You know, mostly when something tragic happens, people run to drugs, people run to sex, people run to alcohol. Well, I was already doing all those things. And I knew that wasn't it. And I knew God was saying, this is it, Heath. I need you to run to me, and I need you to follow me. So after that period, I spent it seeking God. It took me a while to stop smoking weed. It took me a while to get off cigarettes, but I pursued him. How many of you know God's not looking for perfection? He's looking for pursuit, chasing after him. And that's what I did. I just started chasing after him. But I remember I was in Sports Town, Christ Chapel, and I read the verse, Romans 8:28. It says, basically what the devil means for harm, God means for good. What bad happens in your life, God will somehow bring good out of it. And I remember looking at, you know, I was pointing at the stage like, where, you know, really just talking to God. after service one day, "Where's the good that came out of my brother's death? Please tell me, please." And God so clearly said, "You're the good that came out of his death. God used something terrible in my life to change it." I have a theory that if something happens and it causes you to run after God, it's from God. Why would the devil do something that would cause you to do that? It doesn't make any sense. He wants you to run away from God. So I just, you know, when I heard that, it was just, "All right, God, I need to run to you, and I need to grieve this." I was thinking about doing a grieving message, but I felt like I just needed to share my testimony today. But I just had to run to God and express my pain to him so he could heal my heart, so he could do good to me. And this was a couple of years it took, you know, 3 years. You know, he was my best friend. My last words I ever said to my brother were cuss words. I got to live with that for the rest of my life. But that's Jesus's burden to carry. It's not mine. And so I spent some time just really chasing him. And we did a VN, you know, that next spring, VN, Via Nueva. It's a young adults retreat thing. And once you go through it, you can serve on it if you don't know about it. And there's this part where a lot of healing was taking place. I can't go really into deep detail. It's one of those things, if I tell you, I have to kill you. And I don't want to kill anybody. And I was just so heavy with my brother's death. I was carrying so much weight. And during this part of healing, I guess the dam just kind of broke. And I told you, John, Kidney held me, that's his last name, that's my best friend, held me in the bathroom as I cried, and he just loved on me. Another one that I will never forget is my brother Taylor. He was on the same VN weekend, and he held me as I cried. And I just cried my heart out. And so much, I let all this pain and this hurt out, and God just put so much healing and redemption in me. And it changed my life. And then I was like, "God, you are everything. I want to do everything I can for my life." So I started doing ministry. I did a discipleship for about a year and making and traveled around America a lot. And then next year, I kind of took a break off that and worked a lot. And then the year after working, I did this, what's called the World Race. It's for 11 months. You go to 11 different countries. I was able this past year to go to 17 different countries and spread the gospel. That's why I was in Africa. So I got a lot of experience with that. But I remember being in Kenya, and I was sitting on my bed just reading my Bible, having a quiet time. And the Lord, it's just, you ever, this is so random, but you ever like talking to somebody and you just kind of like burp? And it's, "Oh, my bad, I didn't mean to burp in your face," or whatever. That was kind of like what happened with the Spirit. You know, it just, something just kind of came out, regurgitated. That sounds nasty, but it's of the Spirit, so it's holy, whatever. And it just came out, and it said, "My brother's death was the best thing that's ever happened to me." How many of you can say that the biggest pain in your life is the greatest thing that's ever happened to you? It depends if you run to Jesus with it or not. Because if you haven't, it's still a bad thing. But with God, there is no such thing as bad. There's only opportunity for good. Because when his hand touches bad things, they heal. God can't lie. If I was sitting here to say, if God came here, I'm going to use you as an example, sorry, dude, but he said, "You're a woman," we would look at him, "No, that's clearly a man." But when God says it, as soon as he said it, he would become a woman. Because God can't lie. That's just what he does. And when I told my testimony to the youth and I told them that my brother's death was the best thing that's ever happened to me, they were like, "How is that? That doesn't make any sense." You'll find a lot in your Christian life, God doesn't make a lot of sense. And you need to be okay with that. And you need to trust him. But he just has this way with healing. And you give him your pain, you give him, you know, ashes, and he'll give you healing, and he'll give you redemption and grace from that. And it is beautiful. If I can get a musician to come up. I read you three scriptures. The first one was parents praying. I kind of left this out of my, I guess you can kind of realize it in my scripture. My whole life, my mom's been praying on her knees for me. Some of you would know that. Lisa, she said, She would walk around my property and with my mom and just pray for us and pray for her kids and everything. My mom raised me up in the Christian life. I ran and I got off the path, but God and His excellence and His truth and His promises found my way back. And I would dare to say that there's some parents here that you got some kids that are just kind of off the map. That's a promise from the Lord. You need to hang on to that promise. You've raised them up in the right way. You've pointed them to Jesus, but they make their own decisions. Can I say this as a child, and as you once were a child, you do the same thing. You have to figure it out on your own. They will find their way back. The Kidneys, they're my family. I want to use them as an example. John Kidney was my best friend, and we used to do drugs together. Almost 20 years best friends. You won't find a closer relationship. We were trying to define it last night, like best friends, nah, brothers, nah, we're married, no homo. You know, that's it. Like you can't explain it. We're just that close. And it's the most beautiful thing. But I would go to their house and they got their own stories of hell, just like my parents do. And we would pray and pray, and I would leave that house praying for John. And now today, he challenges me in my walk. He's chasing after God like I've never seen him before. And it's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. So parents, you need to take hope. My second scripture was James 5:16. The prayer of a righteous man is heard. Some of you are praying for some people that aren't walking down the right path, that are doing things just aren't right. Keep praying. Don't lose hope. It's not about your prayers. It's about the one who you're praying to, like I said. It's Him. He hears your prayers, and you're righteous only because of Jesus. That is it. And when you walk into the throne room of God with that kind of confidence, you grab God's attention, and you grab His ear. You need to keep praying. You need to keep loving the people at your work that you hate, but you want to see them changed. You got to hold on to that promise. And the last scripture, the woman with the issue of blood. You know, she was bleeding because something was wrong in here. If we could look at it in this sense, you sin because there's something wrong in here. This past Wednesday, I used homosexuality as an example. You know, a lot of people, the people that struggle with homosexuality or whatever, they say, well, God made me this way. And the church comes right behind them. No, He didn't. Oh, He did, because He created them. That's only half truth. Let me finish the whole truth. God created them, but homosexuality, we're all created with a sinful nature. And homosexuality is just where the sinful nature chooses to show itself. That's it. Your sinful nature could be shown by stealing. You're a thief. Your sinful nature, it doesn't matter. Romans 3:23, we're all sinners, all fall short of the glory of God. Can we just all be on the same plateau for a moment? No one's greater. Oh, homosexuals, oh, thieves, oh, murderers, oh, molesters. No, we're all the same. And God changed that. And for me, I went to doctors as girlfriends. I went to doctors as drugs, something to heal my bleeding because something was wrong in here. Something was missing. And my sinning, my blood was proof of that. But I went to these things and it got worse and it got worse and it got worse. And I heard about Jesus. And I said, if I could only touch Him, it would change everything. And He met me where I was at. My brother just died. I was on drugs. I was getting drunk. Impurity to the max. You couldn't beat me. And He changed my life. So I'm going to invite you. I don't do the whole raise your hand thing. Close your eyes, raise your hand. No, I believe, you know, if you're ashamed to admit who your ruler is right now, then God will deny you later. if you're unashamed, and recently you've let go of some promises from your children, from people you're praying for, or maybe even today you've went to many doctors and they just haven't helped and they've made it worse, and you want to give your life to Christ, I'm going to invite you all to stand. Because so many times we raise our hand and it's just, I'm here. Well, God sees your hand and he chose you. You know, when we're in a classroom, who wants $100? We all raise our hand, right? Well, he doesn't only want, you are chosen. He doesn't only want that, but he wants you to stand on a promise. So on the count of three, I'm going to do a little countdown. And I'm going to number it down with some love. Number one, God loves you so much. As a sinner, knowing everything about you, the wickedness inside your heart, your mind, your thoughts before you even think it, and he still came and died. How much more will he love you as one of his children? Two, you might have let go of some stuff. You might have dropped some promises. You might have hated some people. You need to drop it. You need to drop all this doubt, and you need to pick up these promises, and you need to stand back on them. And on this number, I would like you to stand. Three, he loves you. So if you need to reclaim some promises, go ahead and stand up right now, please. If you need to give your life to Christ for the first time, if you need to stand on the promise that I'm going to pray for people and I'm not going to stop praying, he sees your heart. Jesus. And as you stand in this moment, and even if you're sitting and you're like, man, I'm good, praise the Lord, awesome message, he's good to, good to know you. Well, there's people that are still standing that need your prayer. So if we can just love on them and just pray for their hearts. And if you're standing, just take some time with the Lord and just declare some things. And hold on to those promises, because those promises are true. I had no idea what I was going to say today. I wanted to do some like awesome message. But the Lord was just like, make it simple and tell them who you're at, where you're at and who you are, basically. And I know I was talking to three people, promises and stuff like that, but some of you heard a story for the first time. You've never heard a story like that. You've never heard a person that took all their pain and their hurt. And if I had the choice, and he didn't give it to me, I would talk about grieving. Because grieving was such a big part of my life. And grieving is just expressing something that you've lost. And it can be a brother, or it can be a couple of hours of sleep. It doesn't matter. It can be simple, or it can be something great. I want to give you a promise, and it's Romans 8:28. If you're taking notes, take that down. Because these are one of the promises that you need to hold on to. That bad things in your life, God will somehow, some way bring good out of it. I guess today, if I could put a title on a sermon, it would say, hold on to the promises. And maybe that's just what some of you needed to hear. I'm not some expert speaker. I don't have some deep revelation. It's just, this is life. Life's hard sometimes. I'm 23 years old and I know that. I've been through certain things that some people, but there's other people that have been through a lot worse. So let us hold on to the promises of the Lord, because He's true. He is true. Let us pray us out. Father God, I thank You for Your word. I thank You that You can use someone like me, a washed up drug addict, person that curses his own family, that treats his mom and parents like crap, but they love him anyways. You can just change my life. What hope is that? Oh, Lord, You are so good. God, I pray whatever word that they needed to hear, God, they heard, and they would just hold on to it. And they would put it in their hearts and never let it go. We thank You for who You are and what You've done and what You're doing, God, because You are still at work. You are still working. You are not sleeping. And You're definitely not dead. So, God, let us walk through this week on top of Your promises. We thank You for who You are, Lord. In the name of Jesus, amen.